Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
I had a meeting recently with one of our ministries here, and I call them a 2022 perfecting meeting. And in that meeting, I wanted them to take time to reflect upon our theme and the scripture that God has inspired upon our heart for this particular year. And then I raised a question to them, and the question goes something like this: based on the insight you have heard relative to our 2022 theme, in what ways have this inspired you from a personal standpoint as well as a church member standpoint? So when God speaks a prophetic word, it is our first priority is to make sure we have understanding. And then we begin to pray over that particular word and begin to process it and see what impact this word has had or is having upon my personal walk with God and also my role and relationship within my local church, because that is what God is using. That is a vehicle God is using. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but yet God has created this body, this wonderful spiritual entity that we call the church. And it's out of that vehicle that we see God carrying out great works for the kingdom of God. Well, I believe this is a fair question because God provides insight in order to connect with our ability to first understand and then to inspire our faith and faithfulness unto him and to position those who receive that word in a posture of expecting God's power of blessings and favor to manifest in their lives and to manifest in their local fellowships. I yet sense the Lord leading me to unpack continual insight relative to this year's theme in the scripture connecting to that theme. Recalibration for heavenly promotions. Psalms 36 and 8 from the NIV reads like this: they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. Realizing when God speaks a word, that word is first released as a seed into the ground of our hearts. This seed has to first and foremost be planted in good ground. Then it has to experience the spiritual cultivating that causes it to go through God's divine order of producing a harvest. Jesus revealed that there are heart conditions that will determine the harvest from the seed of his word. We see this in the parable of the sower explained in Matthew 13, 19 through 23. I want you to listen to these scriptures And so the scripture says in Matthew 13, 19, this is a heart condition that shows up at church. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the paths. Notice the key word, does not understand it. That's why after God spoke this prophetic word for us for this year, he has me in a place now where I'm bringing understanding. See, you have to have understanding. A lot of times people are jumping and shouting in church, but they don't have understanding. Being driven off emotionalism. That is not substance. That does not produce transformation. That does not produce Christian growth. The key to growing in Christ is you must first have understanding. Then in Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21, here again, Jesus is presenting various hearts that show up at church. He said, the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. This is the crowd that just live off emotionalism. These are the people that got this filly type faith. Anytime things are done that makes them offended or get upset, they're like little babes crying, I'm not playing anymore, I'm running away. Well, that's a heart condition. But they're not rooted and grounded in the word of God. So you see these people, they'll sprout up so certain times of the year. One minute they're on fire for the Lord, lasts about 3 or 4 days. Or they'll go to a conference and come back fired up, lasts about 3 or 4 days. What's wrong? They don't have no root in them. It's temporary. That's a heart condition that shows up at church. Well, let's listen to another one. He said, the one who received the seed that fall among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. That's a heart condition. What is this condition? A love for the world. They can't walk with God. They can't be fully committed to the things of God because they still love the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They can't commit fully to God because of the pleasures of this world. And notice the deceitfulness of riches, money. They can't commit to God because they don't want to honor God when it comes to their money. They say, okay, I'll go to church and I'll do this, but I'm not going to honor God with my money. Why? Because they love money. They're not going to say that. But anytime that you want to honor God with your money, because you love it. And we give to that which we love. Let's move on, because now the Bible says, the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth Psalm 100, Psalm 60, and Psalm 30. This is a heart condition. And the Bible uses the word, the good soil. We often call it good ground. It is much easier for us to try to discern and decide if a place is good ground for sowing. But here, Jesus is not talking about a place. He's talking about a person. He's talking about a person's heart. This is the time to be real with ourselves and ask ourselves which of these responses to God's word seem to identify best with my present commitment to following Christ and obeying Christ. This is a great time to take that assessment and say, Lord, I'm going to be real with you. Based on me examining myself, this more resonate with the condition of my heart. Well, I want to let you know there's good news. And the good news is the message today will provide us what is needed in order to ensure our hearts are good ground or to have the right spiritual fertilizer in order for it to remain so. That means that if our heart is not the good ground, God is saying, you know what? I'm not going to leave you in that classroom. Get this. I'm going to release you out of that classroom because you are ready now to go to the class of the ground, which is good soil. That's the kind of ground that caused the harvest to come. That's the kind of ground that caused a theme that God gives within the local fellowship to be a lived out experience in the life of those who receive it. Sometimes people are shouting about a theme and shouting about that particular night, then all of a sudden they don't have the good soil. You got to have the good soil for the word of God to bring harvest in your life. You're in the right place now, because I'm going to show us in the scripture how we can make sure that our hearts are the good soil or the good ground that God wants us to have in order for the seed of the word to germinate, to be cultivated, to come forth and bring forth the harvest of abundance. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. We're going to go there today, and we're going to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church so we can get an understanding of what does a heart with good ground look like and how can I make sure that my heart is good ground. Well, in Isaiah 55, this is often referred to as God's invitation to the abundant life. When God's people came out of captivity in Babylon and they got free, they were heading back to Jerusalem. They were heading back to a place of abundance. When Jesus come back from the church and he creates a new heaven and new earth, we're going to be in a place of true abundance. And so there is this historical account that Isaiah is making reference to relative to the children of Israel. That it is also a messianic account of the future of what God is going to do. But there is a present word that fit right in the context of our lives because the word of God is a living word. It's an active word. It is a powerful word. Matter of fact, it is more powerful than a two-edged sword. And it goes to the deep places of our heart. So what? So that we can have transformation. Well, I believe the first thing in order to have a heart that is good soil or good ground is this. We have to put first things first by prioritizing our relationship with God and pursue things that identifies with godliness. And so God, through the prophet Isaiah, extends this invitation to his abundant life to all who thirst, and he invites them to come to the waters. We read that in verse number 1. The word says, "Ho, await. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Notice that the prerequisite is simply thirst. This thirst is caused by having pursued that which does not satisfy, that costs us something, and is outside of God. It is called the way of the world. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, we all have walked that course before we came into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, had understanding, repented of our sin, and came into the family of God through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know we've tried things, but they did not satisfy us. They may have brought temporary satisfaction, but it did not fulfill that deep place of our heart. Because only what God provides freely, His grace, His saving grace, can satisfy that part of a person's heart. This is what Jesus offered to the woman at the well, who had a misconception of true worship. A worship that did not impact her lifestyle or fulfill her true inner thirst. And Jesus provided her what was needed in order for her to have worship that changes the worshiper to look more like Christ, satisfy the deep longing of her heart, and glorifies God in her worship. You know, this woman was all caught up on worship, but look at her lifestyle that Jesus brought out. Look how she was living. And see, when people don't have a true worship encounter, so that's what we need to have in the church. We shouldn't be trying to say, well, we're going to focus on the exterior layout of the infrastructure of our stage and have all of these lightings and all of this kind of stuff and put all that energy and all that focus and all that money into that part of the worship experience. All that is external. It's the internal part, the part where the true worship takes place, where the Holy Spirit is the one bringing the conviction, where the Holy Spirit is bringing the transformation, where the Holy Spirit is freely moving on people's heart. Because what? The word of God is being rightly divided. Truth is coming forth. People are hearing God's word, and they are being convicted of their sins and lifestyle, and their worship is bringing transformation. But that woman at the well, she was looking forward to this worship and everything, but her lifestyle was not impacted by her worship. True worship would bring transformation in a person's lifestyle. Listen to what Jesus said to this woman in John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She needed understanding. She needed spiritual insight. And Jesus provides her that. But Jesus said, if you had spiritual insight and understanding, you would be asking me not for this natural water, but you would be asking me for the living water. And then it goes on in verse 13 and 14 of John 4. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus is letting her know that this living water will bring a change in your heart. It will bring a change in your lifestyle, and it will not leave you when you leave the well. It will not leave you when you get at home. It will remain with you everywhere you go. There's going to be this life spring of living waters springing up on the inside of your heart. We know that's the Holy Ghost. We know that's the Spirit of the living God. So Jesus is giving her an opportunity to experience true worship by taking and receiving that which is freely given. That's what he's talking about here in the book of Isaiah. It's free. It's the saving grace of God. Now, notice also, he uses the symbols of water, wine, bread, and milk. In Scripture, both water and wine are pictures of the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus is the bread of life, and we know that the Word is like milk. I want to read some scriptures to confirm that. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, listen to this. "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were later to receive. Up to that point, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said this, and be not drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, excess, abuse, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, in John 6:32-35, listen to what Jesus said concerning him being the bread of life. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Oh, my God. This bread that Jesus offered is free, but it takes faith and it takes coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow in your salvation. These spiritual ingredients become a desire and life-changing experience when we realize that living after the spirit of this world and under the influence of the prince of this world will never satisfy the deep longing of our soul. Jesus said this in John 6:27. He asked a question, do not labor for the food which perish. And one translation says, why do you labor for the food that perish? But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Once this occurs, notice in verse 3 what the writer says in Isaiah. Incline your ears and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of God. And then in verse 4-5, what he does is go and reflect upon that covenant that God made with David, where we know that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that covenant. Come down to verse 6. He says this, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. This hearing and acting and seeking the Lord will be like spiritual fertilizer that help cultivate the seed of God's word that is sown in our hearts. It's here that our hearts become good ground, that is, responding to the seed of truth. See, when our hearts is good ground, we'll know it because we will respond in faith and obedience to the seed of truth that is planted in our hearts. When you surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in his covenant family now. You're in that local church, and it's out of that local church, that vehicle that God uses, the one that he has ordained and called to place his name there, out of that particular vineyard, you are going to have spiritual cultivation, nourishment going on in your life, where you're going to have a heart that is good ground. And you'll know it how? By how you respond to the word of God. In other words, you know that the Bible say incline your ear. You got to come hear the word. There are some people that don't come to church and claim to be Christian. There's some people can sit down and watch all kinds of movies and play all kinds of video games for hours and hours and can't even commit themselves consistently to come to the table of truth. What's the problem? Their hearts. Their hearts. And I'm just going to be honest, because when your heart is good ground, you're going to incline, you're going to act on the word of God, and you're going to seek the Lord. It is a witness of the soil of a person's heart. And get this, we get to determine the soil of our hearts. And what I'm giving you now from the word of God is so that we can either check the soil of our heart or change the soil of our heart. Now, once we have repented and placed faith in God's saving grace, we consistently commit ourselves to those spiritual disciplines that maintains the quality of the soil of our hearts by hearing and acting on God's word and seeking the Lord. This will impact our prioritizing and pursuits in life. We will find that when God and godliness is matters of priority and pursuits, then God will cause us to feast from the table of his abundance and from the river of his delights. Well, let's move on. The second thing I believe we find here, we have to manage life situations by surrendering and trusting God's higher, elevated position and the power of his word. In verse number 8 through 11, the scripture says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing in which I sent it." The prophet is not saying that we are void of knowing God's way. We got the word of God. That's how we know the will of God, by the word of God. Remember the context. Now, that's important. However, when it comes to God saving sinners, that's the context. He reveals what his people need to know in order to return to him. If you look at verse 7, notice what he says. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord." So this falls right in line with knowing God's ways and thoughts. So what? So that they can return to the Lord. When we're in Christ and we have his word and we're confessing his word and we're praying his word and we're trusting his word, we know the will of God. That doesn't mean we have all knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean we have all understanding. But God has not left us in the dark. God has not left us without hope. God has not left us without understanding. He's given us the manual of truth. Remember, the context, as I said earlier, is addressing the invitation God has provided for all to come and take part of his saving grace. That's the initial invitation that the prophet is giving. In the world, you work for what you get. That's just the world we're in. And you are suspicious of anything that is free. But this that God provides is free to all who thirst, desire, and respond in their faith. And I believe that's the hour we're in. God is not a respecter of persons in the sense of he does not accept people based on their status in life, their position in this world, but based on what? Their heart. Jew or Gentile can come to this table and feast on the abundance of God's house and drink from the river of his delights. And 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10 reveals what God has in store for those who surrender and trust him on their spiritual journey. Listen to this scripture. It says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit, the Spirit searching all things, even the deep things that are of God." And so we have the word of God. We have the Spirit of God in the traditional church. They have read that first part of that verse. "I have not seen nor ear heard," but they stop. That's the eye and the ear of the unsaved. They don't understand spiritual things. They don't understand the word of God. They are spiritually blind. But we that are born again, who have the Spirit of God and have the word of God, God is revealing his word to us by his Spirit that's on the inside of us. Well, it is through this, his word, he will accomplish his purpose. When God's people return to his word, into him, they are changed people. The soil of their heart is impacted by how they respond to God's word. If they incline their ear, if they act on the word, if they seek the Lord, if they return, if they turn away from their wicked ways, if they pursue the things of God, they're going to see that God's word is going to work in their favor and for their good. Well, the last thing I have in how to make sure that our hearts are good ground and good soil so that this word that God is speaking can do what it's designed to do, and that is to bring a harvest 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold in our lives, is we have to know how to wait on God with joy and peace while reaping the good from the good ground of our hearts. Listen to verse 12 and 13. It says this, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In verse 12 to 13, it described both the joy and peace God's people experience when released from captivity, as well as that which they will experience at the end of the age. It also provides us the results that follow the blessings of God's word when we allow it to flow freely into our lives and put faith in his power to bring God's will to the forefront of our lives. By this time, after responding to God's invitation, these people of God now have an opportunity to decide what kind of ground, what kind of soil will their heart be. And again, you have to get in the word. You got to incline. That means you got to desire the word of God. Then you got to act on it. You got to obey it. Then you got to make life seeking the Lord a priority in your life, not a casual thing whenever you don't have nothing to do in place another thing. I really believe that God is speaking to the church concerning our priorities in this world. I believe the things even that we went through in the last couple of years is reshaping the heart of the church. Some people say, well, what's happening now is going to change the world. What's going to change the world is when the church is walking in the power and the anointing that Jesus have called his bride to walk in, to be a light to those who are in darkness, to go out and to preach the gospel to all that's in the world. We got to get out of this church programming stuff and packing houses and thinking that is the sign of success. And we got to begin to teach people and train people how to go out there and gain the harvest of souls that need to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ in coming to God's covenant family. It is not God's will that any man perish, but that all mankind come to repentance and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the church is going to have to check their priority. We're going to have to check our personal priority, our personal priorities. We're going to have to check the priorities of our ministry and say, you know, is our ministry function in a biblical order? Are we aligning ourselves with what Jesus left us to do in the earth until he come back? He told us to occupy. And sometimes people think that is the, you know, to be able to have prominence in this world, have prestige in this world, have all the prosperity of the world. That's not really occupying according to the word of God. Occupying is something that's spiritual in nature. It's taking spiritual authority in the earth, beginning to pray and intercede and standing up for righteousness. And when laws are being legislated and passed that's contrary to the word of God, it doesn't matter what political persuasion you may be a part of. You begin to pray and you stand on the ground of truth. You stand on the ground that reflect the word of God. You do, because what? You're going to have to give an account. I'm going to have to give an account before God on things that we stood for while we were in the earth. And we have to stand for righteousness. We have to stand for truth. We have to stand for the things that align themselves with the word of the living God. So I believe God is speaking to our hearts. And I want you to really pray and get in the presence of God and ask God, God, show me how to set my priorities and moving forward in my life. By this time, responding to God's invitation to his abundant life and prioritizing him and his godliness, surrendering and trusting God, who is on a much higher plane than us. In other words, God is in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. God can see things and know things better than we could ever see or know them. The Bible declares that he knows the end from the beginning. And that doesn't mean we don't have understanding of God, but we have to trust him. We have to trust that when we are doing what his words say, that God's going to honor his word. And then we have to recognize that we have to trust in the power of his word to do what he said it would do. And now we're in a place of expectancy. While in this place of expectancy, notice what the scripture says. We have joy and peace and even the blessings of prosperity flowing into our lives.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.